Today's scripture comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we kicked off this sermon series a few weeks ago by dealing with the elephant in the sanctuary. Do you remember what the elephant in the sanctuary is? It's this, that the 21st century church is great at growing membership, great at programs and budgets. We're really good at getting people excited to come to worship for 1 hour a week. We're really good at programming, you know, studies and groups. But the 21st century church is failing. It's failing. It's failing to help people imitate Jesus Christ and to become more like him. We've settled, friends, for making church members when Jesus has called us to make disciples of all nations. And for the past 60 or so years across the United States, all that we have seen for all the church growth models is decline. Declining numbers, declining impact. And I believe it's because the church has failed to live into God's mission. Friends, it's normal for a church to be in decline today. Let's just be honest about that. That is normal. We do not want to be a normal church. So if you're looking for a normal church, sorry. We're going to be weird here. We're going to be different. We're going to do something other than what is normal. We don't want to ignore the elephant in the sanctuary. We want to be a church, friends, that calls and equips people to build faith-filled communities that transform our community for Jesus Christ. We want to be a church filled with disciples who are on mission every single day to see God's kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And so 2 weeks ago, we drilled down on what a disciple is. And I want to remind you of this, and I'm going to remind you every week throughout this series and probably on beyond that. But a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who chooses to follow the way of Jesus. They've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. They don't just attend church. They've committed themselves to being a follower of Jesus. Not only that, but their commitment to follow the way of Jesus impacts the way they think and act and live in the world. Their commitment to Christ changes their perspective. So a disciple, first and foremost, is one who chooses to follow the way of Jesus. But Jesus didn't just call us to commitment. He called us into a relationship with him. So a disciple is also one who's in a growing relationship with Jesus. That is, they're intentional about growing in their faith by studying the Bible, by prayer, service, community, fellowship, and mission. They're active in seeking to discover God's will and purpose for their lives and for our community together. A disciple is one who's in a growing relationship with Jesus. Now, most churches will say, that's exactly right. We want you to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and we want you to grow. But friends, if we look at the scriptures, Jesus says there's one more thing that disciples do, and that is disciples make disciples. Disciples make disciples. They invite others to commit to following the way of Jesus. They are helping others learn how to study God's word, how to pray, how to fast, how to meditate, how to worship, and to fellowship. Disciples make disciples. They own their part of the Great Commission to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Disciples, not members. Disciples, not small group participants. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Disciples who make disciples take this commission seriously and are looking for opportunities to call others to faithfulness. Now, before you run out the door thinking that I'm advocating for, you know, bullhorns and poster board signs condemning people, what I'm asking you to do is to think about the simple ways that you can invite people to follow after you as you follow after Jesus. Think about the simple ways that you can call people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, not by standing and shouting, but through simple acts of faithful encouragement and humble service. Last week we talked about being faithful encouragers, and we said that a faithful encourager is one who consistently reflects Jesus to others in ways that build belonging, in ways that build belonging. That is, their attribute that they share as a disciple of Jesus is that they're not closed off. They seek to welcome the stranger the way Jesus welcomed us, to go after those who are lost and hurting so that they can know the grace and redemption that we have. They're faithful encouragers. But not only are disciples of Jesus faithful encouragers, they're also humble servants. That is, they generously share their life in order to build up others. And to dive into this idea of humble service, I want you to take a look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, while you're opening up your bulletins or getting your Bibles or smartphones out to get to 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to tell you a little bit more about this letter that Peter writes. So 1 Peter is written by the apostle Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus. You remember he was once called Simon, and he became Peter, which is a translation of the word rock, because he would be the rock upon which Christ would build his church. And at this point in his life and ministry, Peter has found himself in Rome, and he writes a letter to the churches in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is Turkey. So he writes a letter to the churches in Turkey to encourage them, because these Gentile converts to Christianity are facing persecution and they're facing violence. Day by day, they see their friends being dragged away into prison or disappearing altogether. So Peter writes a letter to encourage them to hold fast to the faith. And so Peter opens his letter by praising God and reminding these persecuted Christians that they have a new family and a new identity through Christ, that they've been called to live a new life in Jesus Christ that is different than the lives that they lived before they came to faith in him. Because they have been born, as Peter says, born again into a living hope. Into a living hope and adopted into the family of Jesus so that they have a new identity in Christ. He says, guys, this is how you once lived in brokenness, in suffering, and in pain. But through Jesus Christ, you have received salvation and eternal life and hope that does not disappoint. And so here is what life on the other side of coming to Jesus looks like. And in 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, he says this: each of you who were once dead in your sin, if you go back and read a few verses earlier, each of you who were once dead in your sin, who once were not a people, who were once living outside of the blessing of God, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace given in its various forms. In other words, disciples in Asia Minor, in Turkey, in Pontus, in Galatia, in these places that seem far away from where Peter was, I'm writing you to encourage you to share the gift of grace that you've received with the people that you see day after day. You've received grace that has given you a new identity, grace that has allowed you to become a part of a new family. Share that grace through the various ways that God has gifted you with the people around you. He says, if anyone speaks, in verse 11, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, Peter says, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter reminds these persecuted Christians that even in the midst of their suffering, that they have been given gifts of grace to share for the sake of God's kingdom. And those gifts should be used to serve others to the glory of God. I think if Peter were writing us a letter, he would remind us, in the midst of the brokenness and polarization that we see in our world, in the midst of controversies that swirl around us, in the midst of the fragmentation of our culture and the wars that we see around the world, Peter would say to us, share the gift of grace that you've received by serving others humbly. Well, Peter, how do we do that? In a world that says, hold on to what you got. Circle the wagons. Don't let anyone in. How do we become a people that shares the gifts that we've received with the world around us so that they may know Jesus Christ? Well, I believe it starts with sacrifice. Humble service begins with sacrifice. And I say that because it's impossible for us to serve unless we give of ourselves. Unless we give of ourselves, unless we give away some of our power, some of our pride, some of our position. In order to serve people with humility, with this earthiness that says, I'm not great, but God is great and is here to help lift you up. It requires that we sacrifice, again, our power, our pride, and our position. I don't know if you ever have read it, but one of my daughter's favorite books when they were growing up was The Giving Tree. Do you remember The Giving Tree? If you happen to be around a young child's bookshelf, it's the bright green book. It's The Giving Tree. The Giving Tree was written by Shel Silverstein, and it's a story about a tree and a boy. And in the story, you see the tree giving its leaves for shade, and then apples for food, and then its branches to keep warm, and finally its trunk. And what's interesting about the story is the way the tree gives. The tree gives without ever expecting to receive anything from the boy in the story. It gives simply so that it can see the boy happy. So that the boy might feel love. In the same way, as disciples of Jesus Christ, who are committed, growing, and seeking to make other disciples, we serve, we give, not because we expect to receive anything, but simply because we want to see the world changed by the power of God through the presence of God's people. We don't serve because we want something back or because we want to get praise for it or because it's going to look good on our resume or on our community service list, because we want to see the world, our world, changed by the power of God enacted in the lives of God's people. See, when we as disciples of Jesus choose to serve, to lift others up, to address the needs that we see, transformation takes place. Participation in God's will and God's work in the world always leads to transformation. It always leads to renewal and to new life. You see, you and I need to understand that our God is alive and working and active in our world, even now redeeming people's lives, mending broken relationships and circumstances, giving food to the hungry and shelter to the homeless. Our God is active and He's calling us to be a part of what He's doing in the world. So if we want to continue to grow as disciples, we've got to learn how to serve. So in our last few minutes this morning, I want to share with you three ways that you can grow in humble service. The first is this. Find your passion. Figure out what it is that fires you up, that gets you excited. Figure out that thing that drives you and fuels you, and do whatever that happens to be to the glory of God. Use, as Peter says, whatever gift that you have received to glorify God. Use your gifts, the things that fire you up, your passion for the glory of God. Tell you what, one of the worst things to see in the church, and I'm sorry if I'm beating up the church a little bit today, but sometimes we've got to hear the truth, right? One of the worst things to see in the life of the church is people serving out of obligation. You ever met somebody who's serving out of obligation? Welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here. My job is to hold this door. Well, you don't look happy holding the door. Well, if I don't hold the door, nobody else is going to hold the door. So I am the door holder. You ever seen somebody serve out of obligation? Well, it's my Sunday on the schedule, so I guess I'm working in the children's ministry this week. You ever met that parent or that person who's like, it's just my turn, I'm going to be here and be present? And they serve out of obligation. Friends, I don't want you to serve out of obligation. I want you to serve out of that place of passion and desire, so that whenever you show up to volunteer to serve in the life of the church, you're excited and the people around you are excited. If you don't like to hold the door, please don't hold the door. If you don't like to greet people or talk to people, please don't greet, right? We can find another place for you to serve. If you don't like children, for the love of God, don't serve in the children's ministry. We'll find another place for you. Find that thing, that service that fires you up, and do that to the glory of God. God has given us passion for a reason. Figure out what it is that God's calling you to do, and go and do it for the sake of God's kingdom and for the sake of others. Another way that you can grow in humble service is to find a need. Believe me, it doesn't take much looking around to see that our world, even our community, is full of people in need. People who are struggling, people who just need a little help. Maybe you don't yet know what your passion is, but you have an uncanny ability to see the needs of the people around you. If you have that gift, perhaps God is calling you to be someone who responds to that particular need. In one of the churches I served early on in my ministry, there was a group of fairly affluent young adults who noticed that there were a lot of homeless people in their city, and not just homeless people, but homeless families. And it began to bother them. It bothered them that they would see parents and children out on the streets. And so they did this miraculous thing. They said, we want to start a program that will house these families for 6 weeks to 6 months inside of churches for 2 weeks at a time, so that they can get their feet back underneath them and find not only jobs, but stable places to live. This is just a little, not even a Sunday school class, three or four families made this decision to start this program, and now that program, because they could see the need that existed just outside the doors of their churches. That ministry is blessing families and giving people a hand up throughout the Chattahoochee Valley. It's a beautiful thing to see. We've seen a very similar story here in Statesboro with Open Hearts Community Mission. Our community saw that we had a need and that we could do something about it, and here today, families are being blessed because we had eyes to see the needs. So look around you. Look for a place where you can make a difference. It might just be something that looks small and simple. But that small and simple act of humble service is a place to start working for God and for God's kingdom. And the third way that you can grow in service is to find a place. Find a place to plug in. Find a place to make a difference and to meet a need. That's the essence of service. One of those places is right here at Pittman Park. We have a lot of opportunities for you to plug in and to serve in the life of the church. With children, youth, adults, older adults. We don't have many of those here at this church, but we do have a primetime luncheon. You can be a part of serving in the life of the church. We've got people who do maintenance. We've got people who just are here and present whenever there's a need inside of the office. You can plug in right here. But I want to encourage you to think broader than that. If we're disciples who are called to make disciples, there's not a lot of fruit for the mission inside the church, is there? What would it look like if together we made a commitment to serve beyond the walls of our church? To use our gifts for the glory of God and for the sake of God's kingdom beyond the walls of Pittman Park. How might our community be different if we found our place, not simply here inside of the church? We have incredible ministries here. But what if we began reaching out beyond the walls, beyond the campus, so this whole city might know the grace that we've received, might know our passion, might see that we have eyes that see the deep needs of people and offer them a chance to become disciples too. Friends, find your passion. Find a need. Find a place. Three simple ways to begin serving and to begin stepping out into the life that God has planned for you. Remember, Jesus, before he left the earth, he didn't say, "Go in my name to worship or to study or to Sunday school or small group." He said, "Go in my name to serve. Go in my name to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I've taught you." And when our lives are transformed by the power of God, we help transform others' lives in the name of God. Amen.